Our first reading this morning comes from Zephaniah, the third chapter, verses 14 through 20. So listen for the word of God. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. And our second reading comes from James, the fifth chapter, verses 7 through 11. So again, listen for the word of God. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See? The judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we will call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir, for your wonderful concert on Friday night. That was just a wonderful evening, and you certainly made it so. So thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, the words of Holy Scripture are your gift to us. And as we open those words here this morning and reflect upon them, may your Spirit be with us and guide us. Amen. I was in a store the other day, and it had a display of inspirational sayings. You know, the ones that are on wooden plaques that you buy and put in your family room or something like that. And I was looking through them. One of them caught my eye. And the one that caught my attention said this, "Stay patient, trust the journey." At the time, what came into my mind was my childhood, and particularly the times when my family would be traveling to, say, my grandparents' house. And I thought if they could have, my parents would have hung that sign from the rearview mirror as a permanent answer to every time my brother and I yelled from the back seat, "When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there?" Every parent who has traveled with kids has heard this at some point in their lives, I'm sure, probably lots of points. As a kid, I uttered those very words plenty of times. After all, we were going to grandma's house or my cousin's house or the cabin somewhere, anywhere that would be fun. Much more fun than the boring car ride. And when we kids would ask when we were going to get there, my parents would answer, "When we get there," which wasn't much help. Maybe they should have said, "Stay patient, trust the journey." Trust the journey. a reminder that the destination, while an objective, is not all there is. The journey to get there can be just as important. And that is the mindset of Advent as well. The destination of the manger is the objective, but just as important is how we get there. And we get there by staying patient and trusting the journey. Kim read this morning from James, and it gives us that same admonition. Be patient. The Greek language is even more emphatic. It says, you must be patient. If there ever was a season when patience was in short supply, it is this Christmas season, and you can see why. The stores are crowded, the lines are long, the traffic is unbelievable, as I discovered last night going to Polaris. Don't go to Polaris this time of year. The kids are too excited, the neighbors are too loud, the boss is too demanding, the operators are too harried. You can't find what you want, the orders get lost. They don't have your size, the color isn't right, they can't deliver it until the week after Christmas. Whatever patience we might have had at the beginning of the Christmas season, it gets absorbed by the pressures of the season. And when it comes to being patient, I am definitely not a saint. I hate being put on hold. I hate waiting in line. I go to mail a package only to discover that the lines at the post office are out the door. I don't wait well. I fidget. I mutter. I sigh. I tap my feet. I twirl my keys. Thank goodness for cell phones. At least I can call someone while I'm waiting in line, which I did while I was waiting in line at the drugstore the other day. And they put me on hold. So what makes you impatient? Traffic lights? Slow computers? The guy at the checkout line who argues over the value of a coupon? Waiting at the doctor's office? Waiting for someone to call you back? Maybe you lose your patience with those automated answering services. You know, the ones that answer your call with a metallic voice that says, if you are calling to make a purchase, press 1. If you are calling to check on an order, press 2. If you're calling to return an item, press 3. If you're calling to make a complaint, hang up. The point is, we all have our moments of impatience, maybe lots of moments. So perhaps it would do us good for us to listen to James when he tells us to be patient. In his book, Compassion, the author Henry Nouwen says that the beginning point for living the compassionate life is that we must learn patience. He writes, patience is the discipline of compassion. Nouwen points out that the word patience comes from the same root as the word compassion. And thus, compassion could be understood as come patience or with patience. Or compassion could be described as living patiently with others. Nouwen writes, if we then ask about the way of the compassionate life, patience is the answer. If we cannot be patient, we cannot become patient. If we ourselves are unable to suffer, then we cannot suffer with others. If we lack strength to carry the burden of our own lives, we cannot accept the burden of our neighbors. This puts patience in a whole different sort of light, doesn't it? When I think of being patient, I usually take a very self-centered view of the situation. What is it that makes me impatient, and how might I become less impatient? And if I can learn to be more patient, then I have less stress in my life. I've always thought of patience as a personal virtue, one that primarily affects me and no one else, except maybe when I snap at somebody, when I lose my patience. But now one gives me a new thought. Patience is more than a personal virtue. It is a requirement for the Christian life. If I cannot have patience in my own life, if I cannot bear my own burdens with some patience, how can I bear the burdens of others? Years ago, I listened to a woman who was a missionary talk about her ministry with the poor in Central America. She shared a story about how they were struggling to build an economy among these hard-working people. However, they had so many obstacles that they faced, and it seemed to me that every time they took a step up the economic ladder, something would knock them back down. A natural disaster, a government edict, marauding thieves, something. And yet here was this missionary telling us about their newest venture to help these people. The woman embodied patience, embodied the patience that Nouwen was talking about, bearing each other's burdens with patience. As this missionary demonstrated, patience is not standing by with our hands in our pockets. The patience that she embodied was the patience of trusting the journey. The word that James uses, the Greek word uses for patience, literally means long-tempered. We often use the phrase short-tempered, right, for someone who gets angry easily. Well, James wants us to be long-tempered, or someone who does not get angry quickly. And that way, we can bear the burdens that others need us to bear. James uses the example of a farmer waiting for the crop to come in. The farmer cannot rush the crop. There is no point to getting angry that it isn't ready yet. He can't hurry it along. There is no express lane in farming, no instant solutions, no next day delivery. All the farmer can do is wait. But farmers learn to be long-tempered. And they never just sit on the porch and watch. Waiting for the harvest means getting ready for the harvest. It means checking the crops for water, fertilizer, disease. It means getting the equipment repaired and ready for the harvest. It means building storage facilities, hiring help, negotiating the sale of the crop, all while patiently waiting for the grain to ripen. And so patience is about making use of what God has given us in the present moment. Impatience is about getting to the destination. The quicker, the better. Patience is about living the journey as much as it is about making it to the destination. Years ago, I visited a woman in a nursing home. The woman was old and infirm, and she needed help eating. Each day, her daughter would take her lunch hour and feed lunch to this woman. When I went to visit her during these lunchtime hours, I was always amazed and inspired by the loving care that the daughter showed her mother. I admired her patience as she fed her mother, each spoonful taking forever in my mind. I wondered if she'd ever was late because her mother didn't eat fast enough. She told me that she always got back on time, no matter how slowly her mother ate. She always finished in time for her to get back to work. And yet for the hour that she spent in the nursing home, she said that time stood still. There are some moments where time stands still. And patience allows us to tap into those moments. Patience while waiting is what allows us to see, feel, and connect with others, including those fellow sufferers who are waiting in line with us. Patience allows us not to worry so much about our own waiting, but in our waiting to see what happens to others. Maybe there is a woman trying to hold on to too many packages, or a dad who's trying to keep an active kid quiet. Patience allows us to see the need of others and offer to help. Offer to help to hold the packages or make faces at the little kid. If we are impatient, we miss these opportunities. As I said, Advent invites us to trust the journey to the manger. And when we do, we just might see the Christ child along the way. Amen.